Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Here we are. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Always a joy to have you along. And I hope that you find Faith Radio's place of encouragement and growth and insight on a daily basis. I want to let you know that we've got a way to help you grow not only stronger physically, but spiritually as well. It's something that we're doing, and Susie Larson is leading it off each afternoon on the program Live the Promise. It's Commit to Live Fit, and it's a 40-day challenge, and we just launched it here this week and heading through Easter. It's a great time not only to talk about our physical fitness, because most of us kind of gave up on that long time ago. Those New Year's resolutions are just a distant past, and so it's a chance to kind of get re-energized there, and also about spiritual fitness as well. So you sign up online at myfaithradio.com and then listen every day for Susie on Live the Promise and Commit to Live Fit.
There's a lot of excitement.
You're looking fit and trim, by the way,
hey,
today.
Thanks, man. You're looking good, too. It's good to see you again.
And we're in the studio, and Grace is at the phones. That's Ryan over there. I'm Neil Stavem, and we want to talk today about a most important subject. It's something that we like to place an emphasis on a regular basis here on Faith Radio, and that's prayer. And, you know, you're maybe like this. Many people, whether you're in ministry or not, can be discouraged with prayer. Instead of a genuine encounter with God, prayer is little more than a grocery list of requests. And maybe you, too, are seeking God's hand rather than his face. So how do you truly connect with God through prayer? Well, we're going to find out about that today, because for almost three decades, Renewal leader and Pastor Daniel Henderson has helped churches and pastors transform their prayer life. And in the book that we're referencing today, he's going to show us how to pray to seek God's face, not just his hand, and pray with our heart fixed on God's glory, not just for personal satisfaction. Pray from the treasure of God's word, not simply from a list of your own ideas. Pray according to the Spirit's instruction, not only for human reason. And there's more. We're going to go on. Let me introduce Daniel Henderson to us. He's been a senior pastor for a number of years, brought prayer-based revitalization to several mega churches. And today he's dedicating his full-time efforts to help congregations across the country experience renewal and turnaround as he speaks to thousands each year at his conferences and prayer events. President of Strategic Renewal, which exists to ignite personal renewal, congregational revival, and leadership restoration for Christ's glory. And one of the books that he's written, of the many that he's written, is called Transforming Prayer: How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. Daniel, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hey, thank you, Neil. It's always good to be back with you.
We look forward to a conversation today, and I just want to mention at the beginning of the program that throughout the hour, we want to keep referring to the wonderful resource we have on our website at myfaithradio.com, and that's PrayerWorks. When you go to that website and put PrayerWorks in the search button, or myfaithradio.com/prayerworks, you have an opportunity to leave a prayer request, to pray for others. A great way for the body to serve one another that way. Daniel, this as a pastor, maybe just by way of introduction, did you see maybe your churches at times, not really fully engaging in prayer? Was this something that was just sort of a personal passion for you? Say, I want to experience more in my prayer life.
That's a great question, Neil. Well, yeah, it was both personal and corporate. Obviously, I got out of seminary and college and realized I'd had 7 years of training, as I often say, in hermeneutics, homiletics, hermardiology, soteriology, eschatology, all the ologies, isms, schisms, and spasms of biblical learning, but realized I had no training when it came to prayer. And I came across a paradigm of leadership in the New Testament where the early church leaders gave themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so I said, Lord, you got to teach me what that means. Of course, that's never an easy path. That's like praying for patience, you know. And so the Lord then put me into some challenging ministry situations, one of which was there in Minnesota, a wonderful church thriving now, Grace Church Eden Prairie, but it was right after a building program and they had a leadership failure. And you know, situations like that, you just have to learn to be desperate and seek the Lord. And so, Neil, both in my personal journey as well as my leadership journey, the Lord was gracious to teach me the principle of desperation so that we could learn to pray more effectively.
We're talking today about transforming prayer. Love the title. The subtitle is How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. And it really is about worship-based prayer. And let's talk about what that is and what that is not.
Yeah, I think many of us just replicate what we kind of learned growing up and what we saw in churches, which is really just a long grocery list of reciting needs, typically physical needs. I talk often, Neil, about the fact that my problem with prayer started early. I had a drug problem. My parents drug me to the old-fashioned Wednesday night prayer meeting every week of my life. And it was 45 minutes, you know, of writing down all of these long lists. I thought everyone in the country had an ingrown toenail, a slipped disc, a cousin with cancer, friend in financial crisis. I was so depressed I didn't feel like praying. But that's what I learned, that prayer was mainly telling God what he's supposed to do in order to give me a happy and comfortable life rather than really experiencing him primarily, knowing he is going to take care of me. He does want to bless. He does want to strengthen and make me like Christ. But it's really a different paradigm of seeking him first for who he is, and then out of that experience of worship, his word and his spirit then directing our prayers as to how we can pray more effectively.
I'm curious if you have done some research to know kind of how this developed or where this developed. I mentioned before the show, I love the you include a quote from Calvin Miller who says, you know, too often we go into God's presence with a list of pleas, trying to talk God into granting our desire. But this kind of praying makes us one big mouth and God one grand ear. And I'm just wondering, is this surely wasn't something Jesus obviously taught his disciples how to pray? He gave us example. Is this something that developed in our modern world, or is this something that's kind of grown over time?
Yeah, you know, certainly there are indications in the New Testament that the way they prayed is dramatically different than the way we pray today. In fact, in the book, you may know I studied all of Jesus' prayers, all of Paul's prayers, even all the requests that Paul gave. And even many of the prayers in the New Testament, and they're really focused on kingdom issues, matters of God's glory, the advancement of the gospel. But over the years, I think, Neil, what's happened is we have developed much more of a man-centered approach to our Christian faith, and everything in our culture really panders toward consumerism. I think we have kind of turned prayer into something that's really misfired now in terms of how we use it. And we know God loves us. We know he's going to care for us like he does the sparrows and the lilies of the field. But our relationship with him has pretty much become, you know, the idea of us telling him what we think he needs to do. As Miller said, he's the big ear and we're the big mouth. And unfortunately, we miss the beauty of intimacy, which was really Jesus' primary starting place of prayer.
By the way, we're talking a prayer today, and if you would like to join the conversation, maybe you have a question about it, or maybe you've been to had an opportunity to experience some strategic renewal with Daniel Henderson, who is joining us today, and have had an opportunity to maybe see your prayer life change. Love to just have your word of testimony on that, or your question. You can join us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Daniel, let's kind of go back and maybe talk about some basics. We talk about worship-based prayer, and I know that you talk about starting our prayers basically from the Word of God. So let's just build a little foundation for us.
Oh, that's great, Neil. Yeah, I really have learned to just value so much what I call Scripture-fed, Spirit-led, worship-based prayer. That, yes, will eventually lead into a wonderful time of trusting God for our needs. But I would say the best way to talk to God is from his own word. And I think most of us agree prayer is a two-way conversation, so who should start the conversation? Well, certainly throughout the day we're communing with the Lord, but when we sit down to pray, I always find it's good to let God start the conversation because it really is about him sharing his heart with me getting to know him, and the word of God is such a treasury for that to happen. And then trusting the Spirit to take that and to turn that into the language of our praying. We know we want to pray according to God's will, but you can't do that apart from God's word. And that's why praying from the scripture with the aid of the Spirit, worshiping first, which is what Jesus said, is the starting place of all prayer, really does transform not only a prayer life, but a prayer meeting and our total prayer experience.
So does that mean just opening up to a page in the Psalms, or are the, is this something that you know, any sort of any verse, any place can be a starting point?
It's a great question. The Psalms are obviously a great resource, and often when I'm leading prayer events, we will pick a psalm even spontaneously. But yesterday I was leading a staff gathering in Colorado, and the pastor was speaking out of 1 Corinthians 12, asked me to lead a prayer time. And really the lens, Neil, is to look at a passage of Scripture and ask yourself, if Jesus wants me to start with "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," then what does this passage tell me about God and his character? And whether it's praying individually in a group, it's amazing how you can extract truths about God. And then I say, now as you start, don't ask him for anything for the first, you know, depending on how much time you have, first 5 minutes, first 10 minutes. Just give him what he's worthy of based upon what he's told you about himself. And that expression of worship from the word sets a trajectory in a prayer time that really is transformational.
So, in fact, just sort of responding back to God, reflecting in his character then, right?
Exactly. You know, if you took something as familiar as Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, you could say, Lord, I just praise you that you shepherded my heart when, and you think back on your life, or you cared for me when, you know, I shall not want. I praise you that you satisfy me more than. And I love to use kind of the fill in the blank or finish the sentence prayers just to be real specific in our praise to God for all the ways in which he's manifested himself to us. Again, starting from a principle about who he is in his word.
I get the impression that these aren't necessarily long and wordy. You're just sort of declarative statements, right?
Yeah, they are. And I, when I talk about leading prayer or even praying, you know, what you always want to do is take a truth about God and think as specifically and applicationally as you can and turn it into praise. You know, the Lord is good. Lord, in the last week, I've seen your goodness in this, and I praise you that you manifested your goodness in that. And again, just taking those truths about God and thinking about how they have really impacted your life as a beginning place of praise and worship.
We're talking today about transforming prayer, how everything changes when you seek God's face. We want to learn more about how we can elevate, we can change our prayer life, and more importantly, we can see more clearly who God is, and we can acknowledge him as our King and Lord. And we're doing that today with Daniel Henderson. Daniel has served as a senior pastor for several decades, and now he serves as the president of Strategic Renewal, and actually travels the country and around the world, actually, giving full-time efforts to help us in prayer ministry. He's written wonderful books like The 7 Most Important Questions You'll Ever Ask, Think Before You Look, Avoiding the Consequences of Secret Temptations, of The Church That Prays Together, Inside the Prayer Life, 10 Dynamic Churches. The one that we're referencing today is called Transforming Prayer, How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. By the way, we've got 3 copies to give away, and would love to just be able to place this in your hands as a guidebook for you and your church, your small group, your family, to see transforming prayer take place in your life. It'll change your life. And we want you to have a copy, and you want just to call up and join the program, or at least sign up for that. You can call Grace right now at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH.
It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey.
It makes a difference in my life in that it is so encouraging and inspiring. During my drive time, I appreciate it too, and my errands that I'm running and things that I'm doing. It's a real blessing because it's encouraging and inspiring throughout the entire day, each day.
Connecting your faith to your life every day. Thanks for growing with us on Faith Radio.
Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/MyFaithRadio to follow us today.
Hopefully, all the time, that we want to know and experience God more. We want to see His face. And we're talking about how that happens when we change our prayer life. Transforming Prayer, How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. That's the title of a book from our guest, Daniel Henderson. Daniel has served in pastoral ministry for three decades now, I think, almost. And he is he's full-time efforts now through Strategic Renewal. Also serves as part-time pastor of prayer at the Mission Hill Church in Littleton, Colorado, and adjunct professor at Liberty University. And of course, he's served in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area at Grace Church here several years ago when we had an opportunity to get to know him, written a number of books, and we're happy to have him on with us today in Connecting Faith. And I mentioned we do have some copies of the book to give away, or if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 877-93-FAITH. We're talking about you know, taking a truth, turning it into praise by worship-based prayer. We've kind of gone over what it means to start our prayers from the Word of God, but you also talk about praying in the Spirit, and that's a word, a phrase that has sort of, you know, got people off track sometimes. So what does that mean, and how can we understand it better?
That's a great question, Neil. You know, many times we think of praying in the Spirit, and we think of, you know, maybe jumping the pews or swinging from the chandeliers, and that's all fine and good, but really praying in the Spirit is the idea of praying in the realm and in the mind of the Holy Spirit. And many times in the Scripture, there is a direct link between the work of the Spirit and the Scriptures. You know, I think of the parallel between Colossians 3 and Ephesians chapter 5, where the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is a result of being filled with the Spirit and likewise being filled with the Word of Christ. And so what I really just help people understand, it's not that much of a mystery that when you pray the way Jesus told us to, because he wants us to pray in the Spirit more than we even want to, right? So if we follow that pattern, which was not a suggestion, it was a command, and we begin with worship and praise, particularly from the Word of God, and then we move into a time of surrender, your kingdom come, your will be done, I suggest you actually are in the realm of the Spirit. You are in a place where God's Word is controlling your mind, your heart is yielded to Him, and I think that's where you are praying with the mind and heart of the Spirit of God. It's more than an emotion. It's not something we have to work up. It's just a conscious yieldedness to the truth of who God is in intimate communion with Him.
And say a word about we often, you know, use the phrase in Jesus' name when we close our prayer. But I was mentioning we'd had earlier this year had Brian Chappelle on talking about praying backwards. That, you know, we need to understand more about the name of Jesus and how we can acknowledge Him in the midst of our prayers.
Yeah, exactly, Neil. You've probably been in environments where someone failed to close with that little three-word mantra, you know, in Jesus' name. And it's almost like we think they've gone heretical because they didn't throw that little ditty in at the end, you know. But it's not what Jesus had in mind at all, that we would just, you know, tack that on to whatever prayer we feel like praying. You know, when Jesus' disciples heard Him say that, I think what they really heard is when you pray, pray the way you've heard Me pray. Because a name was not just a title. It was the representation of a character. And I think when He told them, pray in My name, pray according to what you know to be true about Me and My heart. And so again, whether we add those three words on at the end or not is really meaningless. What really matters, I think, as you said, Brian Chappelle said, is that we are seeking to pray with the heart and the mind of Christ. And that's why it's so important to begin with His Word in yieldedness to His Spirit.
Which maybe is a good time to just say a few words. Tell us a bit more about how we can understand the Lord's Prayer as it's come to be known, Jesus' teaching on prayer. What does that teach us, and how do we apply that?
Great question, Neil. You know, I grew up with a musical background, so I've kind of converged those two things into my understanding of the Lord's Prayer. You know, the simplest form of musical time is what I call split time. 2:2. And really, if you break the Lord's Prayer down, there's two parts. The first part's Godward, the second part is manward. And so the way I like to say the most basic format of prayer is that he's worthy and I'm needy. And I just look at the scripture and I think, how can I declare that he's worthy, and then how can I acknowledge that I'm needy? But if you really take the prayer, just kind of picture this, the 4-4 pattern of prayer, you look at the four movements in that prayer. Starts upward with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's reverence for God and worship. Downward in response or yieldedness, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it moves inward with our requests, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But you can't stay on your knees all day. It'd be kind of nice to be a KTIS monk, and just walk around the station burning incense and chanting. But, you got to get off your knees and get into the battle.
That's what Ryan does, and it's a little annoying, but no.
It smells great.
Sure, it does. Yes.
Yeah. But, you do have to get engaged in the battle, and that's why that last part of the prayer, it's anticipatory. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or as I often say, deliver us from email. That's the modern-day version. But it's really the idea of readiness for the battle, and that's the final movement of prayer. So it's upward, downward, inward, outward, reverence, response, request, and then readiness for the battle. And by the way, Neil, that's why praying out of the Scripture is so vital, because the best way to get battle ready is having the Word of God in your mind and in your heart. And I think often we separate Scripture memory from our prayer life, but I believe it's all part of the same journey with the Lord in preparing ourselves for the spiritual battle.
So it's just to be thinking of that, a typical 4-4 downbeat, even as the conductor was directing, right?
Yeah, and of course it really starts upward. That's where you get everybody's attention. He raises his hand, and so you start upward with that, and then the downbeat is our response. The sideward motion is our request, and then the outward motion is to the other side is really readiness for the battle. And it's a good picture. In fact, I often joke, it's almost like I have that 4-4 pattern on my lenses of my glasses, because every time I look at the Bible, Neil, I'm thinking, all right, how can I pray this way? How can I reverence God, yield to him, bring him my needs, and then get battle ready? And that's why Jesus said, pray this way. It's a biblical, balanced way to pray.
So let's just review the prayer again for us, just to kind of hear the words, I guess, in terms of the sections.
Connection to the point, So upward with reverence is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's recognizing, obviously, his transcendence and his intimacy, and yet the breadth and glory of his character. Out of worship. So upward with that part, then downward, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a matter of trading in our will, our agenda for God's through our yieldedness to the Spirit. And then inward with the needs of our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. I always call that the resource and relationship component, because it's about the resources we need and the relationships we need to make work, when we're praying about our needs. And then finally, it's the outward. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's getting ready for the battle. Upward, downward, inward, outward, reverence, response, request, readiness. Once you see it, it's so simple. And I can tell you, Neil, it has just empowered me and thousands of people just to have a pattern to pray effectively from the Word of God.
It doesn't seem like it has to be lengthy either, right? I mean, of course, the Lord's Prayer is only 100 words or so anyway. So, are your prayers shorter, or are they just more focused?
Well, I think they're more focused, and it can be short and it can be long. I train people all the time in how to facilitate prayer times. And I always say, if you only have 5 minutes as a group, just think in terms of the split time idea. He's worthy and we are needy. But particularly in a group context, this pattern can fuel a life-giving prayer experience. It can be 15 minutes, it could be an hour, it could be more, because especially when you're praying out of God's Word, there's so much that gives language to the heart in terms of how we are communing with the Lord at that point.
We want to learn more about how we can commune with God, how we can recognize Him for who He is, and as we've talked about, just recognizing His worthiness and how we... We reverence Him, we respond to Him, we bring our requests, and then we pray for those that are in the battle, and we want to enter into that as well. And we're finding out more about it with Daniel Henderson, who's authored the book Transforming Prayer, How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. And we're going to talk more with Daniel Henderson in just a moment. By the way, it's strategicrenewal.com if you want to find out about the ministry outreach that Daniel carries on around the globe and a number of his great books. And we're going to delve into some more of those as well. In fact, he's just written a new one. We'll get to that coming up. We do have some copies of the Transforming Prayer book to give away. And we'd love to have you join the conversation as we talk prayer today and look at seeking God's face more clearly when we come to him in prayer. It's 877-93-FAITH. That's our phone number, 877-933-2484. More in a moment. Focus today. We make that a focus on Faith Radio on a regular basis, and hope that it becomes a natural part of your growing in Christ, your faith journey. That the prayer is just something that you long to do and want to do. And I think most of us want to do more, want to do it better. And so today we're getting maybe a fresh perspective on that, because it's not just about following another list or doing. In fact, one of the books that our guest today, Daniel Henderson, has written, called the 2959 Plan, and we were just talking during the break that was so that we could pray 30 minutes a day, but we didn't have to be legalistic about it. Is that right, Daniel?
That's exactly right. So 29 minutes and 59 seconds instead of 30.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, I'm not sure if we can get to 30 yet, but we've got 30 minutes left in today's show. And by the way, if you've got a question for us, you're welcome to call us at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Daniel, I know I've had opportunity to be in some of your prayer gatherings, teachings, and, you know, they really are transformative. I know you do those all over the world now. So.
Yeah, it's really a privilege. I would say, I was a senior pastor there at Grace Church and kind of became their missionary. Went from being a senior pastor to full-time spiritual pyromaniac, I say. So it's so rewarding. And, you know, honestly, Neil, there's never been a revival in history that didn't begin in movements of United Prayer. And so, you know, I really believe prayer is the ultimate game changer, not only for us individually, but for our churches and for our society. And you don't have to read very far in the news headlines to realize we desperately need that today.
You mentioned United Prayer. Now, you talk in the book Transforming Prayer, How Everything Changes When You See God's Face, about corporate prayer. And so what is more important, private prayer or corporate prayer?
Yes, that's my answer. I always say it's like asking which leg do you need to walk on more, your right leg or your left leg? And unfortunately, Gene Getz, who's a renowned professor from Dallas Seminary, says it so well, and I quote him in the book, our problem is that rugged individualism really is what defines our Western society. And so we tend to think of I, me, and my rather than we, our, and us. Although, if you look at the commands of the New Testament, they are all commands to pray together, and they were delivered that way. The only way to hear God's word prior to the printing press was in community. And we have lost that, unfortunately. You know, we've amputated our corporate prayer leg, and because it wasn't meant to be that way, we're pretty lame on our private prayer leg, and the devil loves it so. I teach, as you mentioned earlier, some prayer classes in different places, but one of them is Liberty Seminary in Virginia, and they have a lot of students there from South Korea. And it's almost humorous. These South Korean students will come up to the American students, and they'll say, "Why do you pray by yourself?" You know, because they have such a culture of praying together. And the Lord said, "My house will be a house of prayer." When Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And in Acts 13, when the missions movement was launched, they were all together praying. You see that pattern in the New Testament and in seasons of revival in church history. And that's why I think the devil hates it when we get serious about praying together.
Well, doesn't Scripture talk about the prayer closet, though? Maybe talk more about that.
That's a great question. Boy, you're pitching me some softballs, Neil. I love that. You know, we often look at that word closet. The only time it appears in any translation in that way is the 1611 King James Version. Otherwise, it's an inner room or just a room. The Greek word tamion, not to get it too technical, but it appears four times in the New Testament, refers mainly to a storehouse or a warehouse. And the interesting thing about that setting is Jesus is talking to his disciples as a group, comparing them to other groups who had the wrong motive and the wrong method. And then he turns to them and says, but when you pray, and in the Greek it's plural, so we say when all y'all pray, right? don't
That's
do
Southern,
it,
like, Southern Greek, right?
Yeah, Southern Greek, yeah. Southern Minneapolis there. But he says, pray this way. And, of course, the book unpacks this in detail. But the interesting thing, the prayer he told them to pray had no singular pronouns in it. They were all plural pronouns. And it really was the pattern they were going to experience together. And one sidebar on this, Neil, you'll find this interesting. I took my wife to Scotland years ago. And in the palaces there, particularly in Edinburgh, they have a room, two rooms, the King's Closet and the Queen's Closet. And I thought for sure those were places where they stuck their clothes. Turned out, back in the day, a closet was a meeting room. These rooms had furnishings and sitting areas. And the tour guide said to us, back in that day, a closet, the primary meaning of a closet, was a meeting room. Well, interestingly enough, the same king who built Holyrood House there in Edinburgh is the same king who authorized the 1611 King James Version, which is why the word closet would make perfect sense. Unfortunately, our individualistic lens has caused us to turn prayer primarily into a personal experience only rather than a dynamic corporate reality.
So, Daniel, maybe you can kind of just lead us through by example, kind of use some... And there may be people listening right now that have been had some opportunity to experience some of your teaching and prayer, part of Grace Church. You're welcome to give us a call. I'd love to hear your testimony on that at 877-933-2484. If you have another question about prayer, we'll get to a couple of those in a moment. But I'm wondering if you would kind of lead us through maybe that 4-4 pattern a little bit and give us some sort of sample example of how this might look like for us to kind of transform our prayer life.
Sure, Neil. And, you know, I would want to do a shout-out to the Grace Church folks. You know, satisfied customers are always better than paid salesmen. You know, we had so many wonderful prayer events up there. Love to hear some testimonies. I know we have a great relationship between Grace and KTIS. But let's just take something really simple like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And, Neil, when I teach these seminars, we'll actually pick passages spontaneously. And, again, not to show off by any means, just to kind of show them how easy this can be. So, that passage we all know well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so if you look just at that passage and think, all right, how can I go upward with this? How can I start where Jesus said, our Father art in heaven? You think, what does this passage tell me about God? Well, he's trustworthy, right? He wouldn't tell us to trust him if he wasn't trustworthy. He is worthy of our entire commitment with all your heart. So we could just start in saying, Lord, I praise you that you're trustworthy. And you could just say something like, Lord, I praise you that I can trust you for this. Or you could even look back and say, Lord, I thank you that when I trusted you, you blank, or I trusted you when. The practical ways of just adoring his trustworthiness. And then if you went what we call downward in that pattern, Neil, you know, the response factor, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It says, with all your heart. And then I would probably say, Lord, today I know you demand all my heart, and so I surrender to you now. And it could be everything from distraction to worry to fear to doubt. And so you're really yielding to his kingdom and his will. So upward, he's trustworthy. Downward, he demands all my heart. And then it goes on to say, now bring your request to him, our daily bread. And keying off of that theme of trust, Lord, today I'm trusting you for, and obviously there's a whole realm of things we might be trusting him for personally. You could even broaden the circle and say, Lord, I'm trusting you for family issues. I'm trusting you for church issues. I'm trusting you for issues of our nation even. And then, Neil, as you think about going outward, lead us not into temptation. He will direct your path. What a wonderful promise, thinking about the journey ahead and saying, Lord, as I face the battle of whatever, blank, of lust and temptation, as I face the battle of discouragement, as I face the battle of persecution, I'm trusting you to direct my path. And so you see that pattern, how easy that can be, just a simple passage like that familiar Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 passage, to praise him for his trustworthiness, to surrender to him our entire heart, to then trust him specifically for areas of our lives, and then to ready ourselves, trusting him to direct our path in the midst of a spiritual battle in which we live. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Was there sort of a point where maybe the light went on for you, or was it just once you started doing this that your prayer life just became so much more maybe energized? Or, I mean, just talk a little bit about maybe that sort of those first moments of discovery, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's yes and yes. You know, there was a kind of a light bulb moment, and then it has been something that the more you do it, the more natural and empowering it is. That when Jesus, you know, said, pray this way, as mentioned it earlier, it wasn't a suggestion. He was giving a command, and not so that prayer would be laborious, but so that we would experience the Father's heart and all of the fullness that he intended for prayer. And so, you know, as a pastor, you can guess, Neil, I've taught through that passage, you know, 10 weeks at a time, all the Greek meanings, the Hebrew background, you know, I'm through in a French restaurant, and, you know, but I walked away from that and thinking, okay, it's still not really clicking for me. And when I realized the four parts of that prayer that just made so much sense, the upward, downward, inward, outward, it just gave me such an amazing tool to then go to God's word and pray through that pattern. But yes, the answer, on the other hand, is that the more I've done it, the more empowering it's been, and the helping others, you know, see that has been really, really encouraging all around the country.
In the book, we're talking about the book Transforming Prayer, How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. We want to seek his face, not just his hand. Not to say that we don't ask God for the needs that we have. That's part of it. But we sort of rearrange our priorities. But I think you wrote, or maybe your son wrote at one point, a little blog, If I Were the Devil. I'm just wondering, what does the enemy do to keep us from advancing maybe in this area in our faith in general?
Yeah, well, I mean, the devil hates when we pray because he knows that's when we're tapping into supernatural power. And we're turning away from, you know, our idol of self-reliance. In fact, I often say prayerlessness is my declaration of independence from God. But that was a blog I was writing, and was realizing that if I was the devil, I would do everything I could to keep believers specifically from praying together. Because the devil knows that when they begin to do that seriously in the book of Acts and in church history, it always resulted in seasons of spiritual awakening, revival, the advancement of the gospel in supernatural fashion. So I think the devil does it in two ways. I think, number one, we've already mentioned the mindset of individualism, by keeping us satisfied with a struggling personal prayer life and thinking that we don't need to pray with others. But then secondly, I think one way he does it, he just is glad that we keep praying in boring ways, you know. I've often said the main reason most people don't go to prayer gatherings at their church is because they've been to prayer gatherings at their church, and it can be pretty painful. So I think boredom and individualism are two things that he is always trying to just insert into the reality of our spiritual walk to keep us from experiencing all that God has for us in prayer.
And is there, talk about revival, that's a phrase that we batted about, and there have been seasons of revival in our nation, but it's been many years. So is that your dream, that if we really caught the vision for transforming prayer, that could take place?
It really is. I mean, I think that's the ultimate game changer. I often say, you know, short of revival, the American church is basically running laps on the Titanic in our fancy spandex, you know. Revival has always been the game changer. You look back historically in our country and the Great Awakenings, and all that those did practically for education and social reform and to address the issues of slavery and all of those things that brought such good into our society. And that's what we need today. And again, it always begins with a humble dependence on God. And, you know, I know we're going to have to get more and more desperate. I don't know what that will look like, but certainly I want to cultivate that spirit of desperation by resolve to seek the Lord and be transformed in his presence and invite as many people as possible to join me in the process, which is something every listener can do.
Talking Transforming Prayer today with Daniel Henderson. The subtitle of his book is How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. Daniel's been a senior pastor for two, three decades and has brought prayer-based revitalization to several of the megachurches and travels now around the country helping congregations experience renewal and turnarounds. He speaks to thousands each year. President of Strategic Renewal, he's written a number of books, including Giving Ourselves to Prayer, an Acts 6-4 primer for ministry, Innovate Church, 8 Innovative Ways to Lead and Grow the Church, Transforming Prayer is the one we're talking about today. We'll get to a couple of questions and then touch on a brand new book that just came out called The Deeper Life. We'll do that just around the corner here on Connecting Faith. You can join us at 877-933-2484.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Are you new to the station? Well, welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. We have a new listener packet that's designed for friends just like you. It tells you a little bit about the station, who we are, why we exist, and what we're hoping to accomplish in the Upper Midwest. It's yours free for the asking at myfaithradio.com. Check it out. It's myfaithradio.com. It's the new listener packet. Request yours today.
Is it worth it to gain the whole world but almost lose your soul? Hey friends, this is Susie Larson, and on the next Live the Promise, I'm excited to talk with New York Times best-selling author Karen Kingsbury. She's written a new novel about the temptations of fame and fortune, and we'll spend some time talking about how to serve Christ while in the public eye.
Live the Promise with Susie Larson, weekdays from 3 to 4 on Faith Radio.
Taking time to pray today and talk prayer with Daniel Henderson, and just honored to have him back here on Connecting Faith. Was pastoring in the area for a number of years and appreciate his heart for ministry. In fact, has moved out of full-time pastoral ministry to lead strategic renewal, and that truly is at the heart of what he's been sharing and teaching for us today about renewal coming through prayer, through seeking God's face, not just his hand. How everything changes when you see God's face, subtitled to Transforming Prayer. And Daniel, we did have a listener that asked if you know anything about a form of prayer called Taizé. Just they're kind of curious about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not real familiar with it, Neil. I've known quite a few young people who have kind of tied into that prayer format in different gatherings that originated in France. And, you know, whether it's that or other kind of new, well, it's an old one, but new things that come to our radar screen. I think the hunger behind it is a desire to, what we're talking about today, move beyond just perfunctory prayer lists and really experience God. I don't know enough about it to comment on its biblical veracity, but I do know that the desire of the soul, that prayer is a meaningful, transformational experience, is so obvious in the hearts of people who are seeking something beyond just their traditional approach. And I do know they emphasize some forms of meditation and, I think, focusing on Scripture. But I would just say what I am confident in is what we're talking about today, and that is when you begin with the Word of God and you let your thoughts be filled with His Word, inviting the Spirit to control you as you pray, God is always glad to lead you in a transformational experience. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. The goal of all prayer, it says there, is into the same image, the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what I realized. You know, I remember a radio interviewer asked me when Transforming Prayer first came out. She said, you know, well, what is the purpose of prayer then, Pastor Henderson? And I said, well, it's the purpose of everything. It's the glory of God. And so any form of prayer, any experience of prayer needs to be biblical, needs to be Spirit-directed, it needs to result in Christ-likeness, and it ultimately has to have a heart for the glory of God.
And as you said, I mean, there's a hunger, I think, within each of us that we would we long to know and experience God, and the prayer is the way that we can experience that.
It really is. You know, the two-sided coin of prayer is that God shares his heart with me, and I share my heart with him. But unfortunately, many times we just think of that second part, I'm sharing my heart with him. He wants us to do that. The Bible says, pour out your heart, O people, to God. He wants us to rely on him and allow him to touch us at the deepest level. But again, it begins with him sharing his heart with us. As we start with that issue of worship-based prayer. I'm going to say it this way, Neil. If all we ever do is seek God's hand, we may miss his face. But if we seek his face, he will be glad to open his hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Wow. That's a good transition into just saying a few words about your new book just coming out called The Deeper Life, Satisfying the Eight Vital Longings of Our Soul. I mean, we are a people that have deep longings, don't we?
We do. And God's put eternity in our hearts to know him and to ask questions. The book is really focused around eight questions that I think all of us ask, but it puts them together in a way that really makes sense for the purpose of daily renewal. And Neil, in the book, I open up with a story of the Apostle Paul, who, when he had an encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, instinctively asked questions. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And then in the New King James Version, he went on to say, "And what do you want me to do?" I think we're all created to ask deep questions and find meaningful answers from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So, people do struggle with, I guess, what we call a superficial existence. But I'm just wondering, is that an unrealistic expectation? Is it something where, the early church fathers or, a pastor of three decades who wrote a book said, we should expect something more? Maybe just getting by is enough, huh?
Yeah, well, not just superficial, but I think, it's really a call to be intentional as well. And I think a lot of us lack that. And the background of the new book, Neil, is that as a Christian, as a pastor for years, I knew there were answers I needed to find around, my purpose and my biblical identity and my values and my priorities and even my goals. And I realized over time those really fit together in a way that would produce a daily renewal in my life. And eventually I preached a sermon series on it. Now it's become a book. But the questions, Neil, in the book start with who is God, and then who am I, and then why am I here? And so that's your theology, your identity, and your purpose. And they build on each other in that order. We hear a lot about purpose in life. But you can't know purpose unless you know God and you have a clear sense of who he wants you to be. And then out of that purpose is our values, our priorities, our goals, our time. And the eighth question is, how will I finish? That's my legacy. What am I going to leave behind when it's all been said and done?
It's a new book. I think it's just coming out, right?
Just 2 weeks ago. Hitting the shelves. Yeah.
It's called The Deeper Life, and the subtitle is Satisfying the Eight Vital Longings of Your Soul. And as Transforming Prayer, both are forwarded by Jim Cimbala, and so I would recommend it to you. It'll be some great teaching. Daniel, we did have Nancy had a question. She says, "I'd lead a prayer team at church. How can we keep prayer from becoming boring? How can we change our routine?"
That's great. Great question, Nancy. And that's really what I'm giving my life to, is help people to figure that out. Every prayer meeting I would say we misfire at the beginning of prayer times with things like, does anybody have any prayer requests, or let's just pray as we feel led, or let's pray around the circle. And there are reasons why I think those aren't really effective. I start every prayer time I lead by simply saying, let's open our Bibles. And let's let God start the conversation from his word. Now, that's hard for people, Neil. You can imagine, because a lot of people come to prayer meeting to kind of air their issues, or make sure everybody knows what's going on in their lives. And when you really see God's face, those issues will come out probably deeper than they would have otherwise. And it's easy to maybe even take notes at that point and share those needs with the group in terms of prayer requests. But I would suggest the starting place is so important, because when we start with just asking if people have prayer requests, you know how it goes. You write these down, you talk about them for 45 minutes, and then somebody looks at their watch and realizes, oh, we better pray. And then it's kind of an alley-oop there at the end, hoping God will hear us, And so starting with him from his word sets the pace for a life-transforming prayer meeting.
And then so is in a prayer meeting like that, then do you pause as you open up the word? You read through some passage, and you actually sort of stop and pray right there. Then it kind of pray your way through. Is that right?
Yeah, and you worship out of the passage, and as we said earlier, you surrender your heart. And then, you know, with some even cues from that passage, you begin to bring those requests to the Lord. And, you know, it's even a better economy of time, Neil, as you know, to sit and talk about all those needs for an extended period of time, and then to try to find time to pray about those needs. That can take a long time. Yeah. And better yet, just go into God's presence, worship Him, and then begin to open our hearts as His Spirit prompts us concerning the needs that He isolates. You know, I find that even when I have a list, and I do have a tool, we talked about the 2959, but when I have worship first, even how I pray about those things is different than it would have been had I just immediately started doing my data dump, you know, with the Lord.
Do you find, is this something that maybe is attractive to new believers or younger or older? Or I'm just kind of curious, what kind of feedback you get?
Yeah, you know, we've seen it just be so powerful on both ends. For older believers, it becomes just like an aha moment, you know, realize, oh, this is what I've been longing for. I just didn't know how to get there. And that's so encouraging to see that. But for new believers, you know, they have such a hunger to grow and learn. And we've seen so many of them, brand new believers, come into some of these prayer gatherings and experiences. And it just set a pace for their life of realizing that it's really all about knowing Him, not just telling Him, you know, what I think He needs to do today to meet my needs, but trusting Him. You know, and Neil, if God is all good and He's all sovereign, He's all knowing, He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, then really prayer is more just about trusting Him to be who He said He was. And that's why we need to start with who He is, so that we are praying and trusting in faith.
Well, not to sort of do an alley-oop to the show here, but we do have just 90 seconds left. Daniel, would you take a moment just to close our time in prayer and encourage us around the throne of God?
Thank you, Neil. Would love to do that. Our Father, You are awesome. You are good. You are fair. You are a provider. And we worship You today. And I know, Lord, right now people are listening who have deep needs, but our greatest need is to know You and find our satisfaction in You, knowing that all is well when we do that. So, Lord, give us hearts of worship. Help us think great thoughts about God throughout the day. But particularly when we come to You in prayer, let us first and foremost discover once again the beauty of who You are and worship. And then out of that worship, Lord, I pray that we would just surrender to You gladly all the issues of our life, seeking Your kingdom purposes. Lord, we trust You for physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, family needs today. We thank You that You are a provider and You are good and You can be trusted. And we look forward to how You will bring glory to Yourself in response to our prayers. And then, Lord, we're all in the middle of a battle today, battles of distraction, discouragement, depression, struggles in families, struggles in marriages. So, Lord, help us to allow Your power to be manifest in each of these situations so that Your kingdom may advance through our pursuit of You and our intimate abiding in Christ. Thank You for the privilege of this time. Thank You for KTIS and Neil. Bless their efforts, Lord, as they continue to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Daniel Henderson, who has for three decades been guiding individuals, leaders, and churches to embrace experiences of powerful spiritual renewal, kind enough to join us today to talk transforming prayer. Find out more about his work at strategicrenewal.com. We'll put a link on our website as well. And thank you for listening to Connecting Faith.